The following is a production of BYU Broadcasting in cooperation with the Brigham Young University Division of Continuing Education.
At Christmas time, the emotional stakes are very high. You, your friends, your family, me too. We're all hoping for the ideal, perfect Christmas. One way to get there is to immerse ourselves in the warm glow of tradition, ritual, and cultural experience. Maybe your perfect Christmas would include the posada, the traditional processional in which your community reenacts the Holy Family's search for lodging. Or maybe the ticket to a successful Christmas entails tamales or rosco de reyes. No matter where you live, what you eat at Christmas really does matter. On Thinking Aloud today, Christmas time in Mexico. For some of us, a quick survey of unfamiliar ways and customs. But for our guests today, a way of life and celebration. On Thinking Aloud today, we welcome Melissa Liera, a BYU student from Sonora, Mexico. She's a freshman taking pre-business management courses. Melissa Liera works in the BYU International Student Services Office. Melissa, it's a pleasure to meet you today.
Nice to meet you, too.
And Saul Santos, a BYU student from Mexico City. He's a sophomore studying industrial design. Likewise, Saul, thanks for coming. Pleasure to meet you.
Thank you very much for having us.
I'd like to start out just with a silly question. How big is Christmas in your experience in Mexico? The reason I ask this is because we all think of holidays as being hugely important when we're very young children. But the trend in the United States of recent years has been to take holidays and make them even bigger and bigger and bigger. Christmas being one of them. Of course, Halloween has had enormous growth in terms of its popularity and people putting out the decorations feels like months in advance. But with that background, how big, Melissa, is Christmas for the Mexican people, for your family, for your community?
Well, in my community, it has grown a lot as well. There are ornaments all over the streets and lights in the streets as well and in the trees. And every house has lights outside of their, like in their trees or even in their house. And, yeah.
You get going with those lights as early as around here, of course. Sort of the unwritten rule was that as soon as Thanksgiving is done, you can put up the lights last days of November. Do people get going early in the season like that?
Usually they start putting up the ornaments and the trees and everything around November the 20th or up until the beginning of December. Mm-hmm.
Saul, same question. Just how big in Mexico City is this holiday?
In Mexico City, everything is big, you know, including the city, everything is just so big. I think, well, for us, it was always big. I don't think it's as, like, marketed as it is here. It's more like a traditional holiday.
So the commercialism is not taking over things.
At least my experience growing up, it wasn't ever that way. It was always more like the gathering with the family was like the big thing because you knew that you were going to see your cousins, your uncles. They were going to make the trips from out of the state. That was the big thing for Christmas for us, just the gathering with the family.
And I want to point out that having both of you on our program today, Melissa, you come from the northern part of Mexico, from Sonora, and that borders right on the United States. And so we're talking about a region that is heavily influenced by cultural trends in the United States, whereas Saul, you're from Mexico City. I would imagine that your country has got significant regional differences as well. For instance, I mentioned the posada being a procession, and there are places in Mexico today where a Mary and a Joseph are actually traveling through the neighborhood as part of this tradition, and yet that seems to have evaporated in your regions. That doesn't happen anymore so much, or you haven't seen that. Is that right, Melissa?
Yes. In my region, we're more with the Santa Claus thing. Mm-hmm. I'd say we're very influenced by the United States. And We have nativities all over, like, the place. They're kind of like museums, but they're nativities that are very well organized, and everybody goes and sees the nativities, and it's kind of like a gathering of people.
Mm-hmm. Saul, have you ever seen a procession, a posada, where they actually reenact the journey of Mary and Joseph?
And you can see it on TV. They always have it, and you get the chance to see it. I've never seen it myself in person. In Mexico, we always have posadas, and we actually reenact, but there's not like someone dressed up as a Mary or someone dressed up as a Joseph. It's more like we all are together in this one.
This sort of thing, the posada, it happens when?
Well, it happens the 9 days before Christmas.
Nine days before Christmas.
So you have 9 posadas. And to represent the 9 months of the pregnancy. So, and then it concludes with the birth of Jesus. So that's the representation they tell you that's what it represents when you're little.
So every single evening for 9 days, mm-hmm. you have this a big party.
Every single day.
Music, does that play a role in the posada?
Yeah, especially the singing part. You all, like, every single night you sing the same songs, again asking for lodging, and it is fun. You memorize them, and hopefully I won't have to sing today because I have a terrible voice. But it is fun. It's something that you grow up with, and something that you just learn to love. That's what you look forward to.
In the north of Mexico, Melissa, is the posada also a 9-day event, 9 evenings?
No, posadas for us are like you can do a Christmas party. It's sort of like a Christmas party for us, and we can do it since the December 15th up until the 24th, no matter which day. Like, mm-hmm.
If you look at Europe and some of the traditions there, it readily becomes apparent that, yes, the 24th is an important day and the 25th, but there are other very important days. For example, in Germanic regions, December 6th, and then later Epiphany, January 6th, are very important days. My understanding is that historically in Mexico, there was a time when January 6th was a much more important day than even Christmas. Do you have any reaction to that at all, Melissa?
In my opinion, we don't have a certain date that is more important than the 24th. I think every Mexican is waiting for Christmas Eve and the 25th. Another date that we have would be January. That is important, but not within December. January, within the beginning of January, maybe, is it the 7th?
The 6th?
6th.
The 6th is, it's like Christmas for Mexican people.
So explain a little bit more, if you would, or Saul, how do these compare, the 6th and the 25th?
Santa Claus didn't come to my home ever. I'm so sorry. I know. I guess he likes colder climates, so he sticks with northern Mexico.
You've never had Santa come to your home?
I never had Santa Claus ever. Like, and we never did. It was something that is fun. It's interesting. Our next door neighbors were from Sonora, and Santa Claus came to their place. And but if my family never came, we look forward to January 6th. That in tradition is the day when the wise men visited Jesus and brought them presents. So the presents that we get, we might get some presents for Christmas from our family, but when we get our toys and, you know, that day that kids look forward to in growing up, for me, was that January 6th. And you keep your Christmas decorations up to that day and maybe an extra week. And then, I don't know if you knew, but actual Christmas celebration extend to February 2nd.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's just they have Rosca de Reyes, as you were mentioning in the introduction of that's just bread. It just means the crown that the wise men had. So it's a rosca, and then in the little rosca, there's little plastic dolls, just like a little kid that represents Christ.
A small doll.
Yeah, just plastic. So in the bread, if you cut a piece of bread, if you happen to get a piece that piece of plastic, that plastic dough, you have to make the tamales for February 2nd. You know, and it's another gathering that you have with your family.
Is that the same in Sonora?
Yes. The one that gets the doll in their piece of cake is the one that will organize another party and will have everyone invited for tamales.
So does one try to avoid getting the piece?
Yeah, especially, you know, your parents. It's funny because, you know, the kids get their piece, and if you get it, your parents are going to be mad at you for that night because they're gonna just like, why? Now I have to organize this party for everyone.
So it's a little trinket or little doll that's baked in the bread.
Yeah.
Yes. You don't eat it, though. It's a plastic doll that's just kind of like inserted in the cake.
Is either of you headed home this season for Christmas season?
I am.
Yes, me
both
too.
Both of you, yeah. Mm-hmm. So have you been here in the United States to witness the way we do it? Or is your familiarity with an American, United States traditional Christmas more through the media, Melissa?
Yes, I'd say more through the media because I've never been here in Christmas before. I've just seen all the ornaments and I've been in the Phoenix Temple and I've been able to see all the lights and the nativity, and it's been a really good experience.
But Saul, that's about it. Have you ever been in the United States for Christmas season?
Yes. I just as a family, we just happened to be here 1 year when we were growing up. And then I think just a big part, like we were raised being members of the church, and just the Latter-day members of the Church of Jesus Christ, the Latter-day Saints, and American missionaries coming. Serving in our home wards, you know, you try to make it as close to for them. You want them to have like a white Christmas, and you do a lot of things that you see, that you learn, that you see on TV for them. So they tell you, they explain, and you get a little familiar. So also the Mexico City Temple has a big nativity scene. They have Christmas lights in the Mexico City Temple. And growing up, that's one of the first things that you do during Christmas season. Your parents will take you to the temple. You get to see the lights. You get to see the nativity scene. And then that was awesome. We always loved it. You invite your non-member friends. And, you know, you take them to the visitor center, fill out cards. Just a great tool for missionary work for us that we had during that Christmas season. So I think that the nativity and lights and all that stuff is something that the church has carried through, you know, mm-hmm. their missionaries.
I had an experience recently. A neighbor of ours invited my family to one of their birthday parties, and they are a family with a Mexican heritage. And we had often seen families, Latino families, celebrating in the parks various birthday celebrations, and they are enormously big, and everyone seems to descend upon it, and that sort of the festive nature, almost any excuse it seems to do for gathering people together to be with family and friends. Is there something qualitatively different about Christmas that would distinguish it from that same festive atmosphere of maybe a birthday party in the middle of the summertime, for instance, Melissa?
I didn't exactly get the question.
Is there something unique about Christmas that makes it more than just a fiesta of sorts?
I'd say it's more of a family reunion, that you're looking forward to see all your family. And if they don't live in the same place as you do, you're just waiting to see them because they all come over for Christmas. So.
And the same question, Saul, is there anything... I mean, the food's fantastic. The birthday party, I would go to that birthday party any time because of the food, the meats, and the everything was served. But it was a marvelous experience. And so if you have a party, a posada, be sure to invite me. But I'd like to know if there's something really different in your experience about the Christmas celebration.
Well, I think the whole holiday season is just very family-oriented down in Mexico. Mm-hmm. Not just Christmas, but just the whole holiday season. Like New Year's. I've seen in the United States, it is common sometimes that you spend with your friends. You tend to do other things, go to different parties. It's not necessarily a time that you spend with your family. In Mexico, still, it's very important that you spend New Year's with your family.
I want to talk about a couple of things. Let's go back to the Three Kings, and then I want to talk about food. I can never stop talking about food. But the Three Kings, how is the bestowal of gifts taken care of on January 6th? You know, the kids in the United States, United States wake up and they discover their presence under the tree. How is the gift giving made into some sort of ritual, if it is?
Well, it's for me. My dad's amazing. My dad always made sure that he did something creative for us. I remember growing up. So for us, the tradition is that the wise men came in a horse, in a camel, and an elephant. And that's how they came. They got around to deliver the presents. So my dad, one year, he happened to record an elephant sound in a tape. So in the middle of the night, he would play the elephant sound just to, you know, make us feel like, I hope kids are not listening to this, but help us, you know, with that just fantasy that we had. That mm-hmm. the it was so much fun because I remember my sister just coming and picking me up, and he's like, "Do you hear the elephant? Do you hear the elephant?" I was like, "Yeah, I hear the elephant. The presents are here." So we just rushed down the stairs, and there they were. It's just one of the most vivid pictures that I have in my head. It was that Christmas because we came down their stairs, and right in front of the stairs there was the Christmas tree, and my dad always made sure, like when we went to bed, he would unplug the tree, but and that day he would always plug it back. So when we come down the stairs, there was this, you know, this tree just full of lights with presents all over. And he always made sure that it was used good memories for us.
You know, in the United States, we've got an area where you can actually farm Christmas trees and grow them in great quantity. And I would imagine, I don't know if the climate's conducive to that kind of, to growing Christmas trees.
Very, very much. Like around Mexico City is a place called Amecameca. It's around the Popocatépetl volcano. Just outside of Mexico City, they are famous for their Christmas trees. Mm-hmm. You go there, you go there, you cut it down yourself, you just drive it back to Mexico City. It's about a 45-minute drive.
Melissa, as he was describing the elephant, you were nodding. I had never heard this before in my life. The three animals were what again? And this was a custom in your family as well? The elephant, the camel, and something else?
And the horse.
The horse.
Well, it's a tradition. It's a Mexican tradition, but we don't practice it in my home. I was nodding because I agree. I know. But in my house, it's always been the Santa Claus tradition.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, food then. Tamales. Does anybody know why tamales are so big at Christmas time?
It's 'cause they're so good.
Is that the only reason?
I wish I knew. There's other dishes that we have. I don't know. Mole is really big. And
which is what?
Mole is just, you know, like a chocolate-based sauce that is not actually sweet, but it has, you know, that base.
It's spicy,
so good. And that's what, you know, it's something that we do a lot. And
you eat the sauce with what?
With chicken. And
on chicken.
So you have the chicken. Well, you just have to know that chocolate, like the actual cocoa seed, is not like sweet. Uh-huh. Like, that's after the sugar and
okay.
all that stuff.
Yeah.
And and we have something called romeritos, which is just a plant that we grow, I guess. And you put mole, and you can put shrimp. And we have different dishes that we prepare during that Christmas season. It's just so diverse. We have adopted the turkey, but we also do pork.
Uh-huh.
And pork is something that is big in my family.
Now, I was surprised a couple of years ago when I discovered for the first time that tamales don't have to be filled with meat.
Oh, no. They can be various flavors.
Fruit?
Fruit is one of them. You
yeah.
can have a pineapple, and in Mexico, one of the most traditional ones is they call it tamal de dulce or sweet tamal, which is just a raisin-based flavor. Like, it's just pink. You open your tamal, it's pink, and it has raisins, and that's the most traditional sweet tamal that you can get, at least in Mexico City.
One day down the road, maybe you'll have families to pass on some traditions, and I'm curious to know, have you given much thought to that, and what would be the essential aspects to pass on? Melissa?
The essential aspects as of Christmas? Mm. I'd say the gathering of a family and the food, the typical food is really important. And besides, in my family, we have, when we do the Christmas Eve posada, There's a time in the posada in which all the family members express their feelings, like give thanks or express love for the family members. And yeah, it's a special experience.
I want to expand this concept of Christmas just a little bit and just talk about some of the cultural differences. I heard years ago that when the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was building church meeting houses in places like Mexico, they'd come up with a head count for how many people were living in maybe one congregation, in a ward, for instance. And they found out that you can fit more Latinos into the same space as you can Americans, because the Americans want to sit further away from each other. They're not comfortable being close to their friends, and maybe sometimes not even to their family. So it's not that the Americans take up more space. It's just that they're not as gregarious. They're not as friendly, frankly, or as willing to show physical affection. And so when I imagine a Mexican family gathering at Christmas time, I would imagine people who are really, really close. Talk to me about that, Melissa.
I'd say Mexicans and Latin people are recognized for their close contact with people, and because we're so friendly between each other, we always hug and kiss, and that's definitely one of the things that most recognizes Latin American people.
So how did it strike you coming to a place like this?
It was hard at the beginning because I was used to being really close with people and being able to talk about personal things. And with American people, it's not that way. Everyone does their thing, and they're a bit more separate from each other.
A bit more separate. Proximity of the way people position themselves in the conversation, how close you stand to somebody anytime, anywhere. I mean, Americans are very uncomfortable people on airplanes, for instance. Saul, any thoughts on that?
Well, I think the circumstances upon which, you know, both of us came, you know, are a little different. I come from Mexico City. She comes from northern Mexico. And also, I came to be a part of the BYU soccer team here. So the very first thing is when you play for a representative sports team, you become a family by the end of the first practice, you know, and then you get so close, you travel together, you know, you stay together in hotels, you eventually live together. You become a family, and I think for me that it wasn't that big of a shock. Because, you know, it's just that relationship that I established with my teammates, that you're so close and you trust each other and you're there for each other. And it was just great for me because that they made that transition so smooth that I just didn't. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why I love, you know, this country so much. I have nothing but good things to say.
Because I'm going to tempt you to say something in the way of a critique, because there's got to be something that not that I'm down on citizens of the United States, but we're kind of odd ducks, you know. We're weird folk, and I'm just wondering if there is something that sort of has ever disappointed you in the way of cultural experience, specifically at Christmas time. Is there something that you've observed about us that we wouldn't even see ourselves?
Well, there's so many good things. I just like looking at the good things. Uh-huh. Yeah, that keeps me happy.
So I'm not going to succeed here. Maybe I can get Melissa to crumble under the pressure that I'm going to put on.
But I think if he wasn't so focused in just in how much money we spend on the gifts and all that stuff. At the same time, you know, there's so many chances. I've seen so many people doing stuff for Santa, or, you know, just donating time and effort and during this Christmas season. I can see a shift in at least in this Utah society, that people really want to make this holiday time a given time.
And to what extent is charity or concern for others an aspect of the Mexican Christmas season?
It's so family-oriented that almost everyone's covered. You know, it's just everyone's covered. Even sometimes when you don't get along with your family members, you know, in Christmas you're gonna see them and you get ready for it. You know, because they're gonna come because it's a family time. So everyone's covered, and perhaps you might not have so many like opportunities for service because you are with your family and you that's who you focus on.
Well, even when you think about the Posada experience, for example, that extends a little bit beyond family, doesn't it?
Oh, that's all about the neighborhood. You invite your family to come to one or two out of the nine.
But so if you got nine parties, everybody's covered.
Yeah, but that's mostly your neighborhood. Uh-huh. So,
Melissa, anything that you've observed, and I was fishing, of course, to see if you know Americans here in the United States are too materialistic. If we're really into the money, and you know, you have to up the ante from one year to the next. You're always buying. Has that been something you've observed at all?
Yes, I've observed that it's American culture is more biased on the like buying and all the merchandising products for Christmas and ornaments and all those kinds of things otherwise than focusing on the real meaning of Christmas. And that's reflected on movies as well.
Tell me about that.
I've seen a lot of American movies that are focused more on the gifts that they're going to buy, and they're all rushing to get everything prepared for the Christmas dinner and everything other than focusing on service or the real meaning of Christmas.
So could I attend a Posada in either Sonora or in Mexico City, and would I sense an absence of the sort of the hubbub, the tumultuous preparation for the party and the gift-giving and that sort of flurry of activity?
You'll love it because sometimes preparations for the same night party starts at 5 and the party starts like at 7. So, if you can learn the songs, you can have a posada every night. That's all you need, and we'll take care of you that day.
And the singing also in Sonora, Melissa, is that vitally important to the nine evenings of party? Do you have nine evenings with the posada in Sonora, or just one or two?
Oh, no, it's just one or two.
Uh-huh. But the singing is part of it, too.
Yes, yeah. It is part of it, and there are groups of people who go around the neighborhood singing Christmas songs to all the houses and, like, reminding people of the true meaning of Christmas.
This is leading up to my last question for our conversation today, which is that we sort of have two basic categories of Christmas singing in the United States. You have those that are focused on the religious message. You have those that have to do with Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Santa Claus. I'm wondering, is that division also something that we would find in Mexico?
I'd say no. Most of our Christmas songs are religious-based.
And Saul, do you agree with that?
I think so. I think the influence is growing, though.
The influence of?
Of Frosty the Snowman.
Frosty's taking a hold.
I like him.
You like him. Well, thanks to both of you so much for spending time with us to talk about Christmas in Mexico on Thinking Aloud Today. Pleasure to meet you both. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Melissa Liera and Saul Santos have been our guests today, students from Mexico studying at BYU, and we've been talking about the ways and customs and traditions of Christmas in Mexico. We welcome you to come to our website, learn more about our interviews, and listen to any of the past interviews if you'd like to. That's at classical89.org/thinkingaloud. We welcome your comments at our email address, thinkingaloud@byu.edu. Our production team consists of Wes Sims and Koyo Iamba and BYU students Carlos Wetton, Rob Sanders, and Robin Miners. We hope you listen for us every weekday at 11 a.m. Mountain Time, and remember that on Tuesdays we bring you a BYU devotional or forum broadcast. I'm Marcus Smith, and this has been Thinking Aloud.
Thinking Aloud is a production of BYU Broadcasting, made possible in cooperation with the Brigham Young University Division of Continuing Education.